Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This is God's word. "For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Take note, I, Paul, am telling you that if you get yourself circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised that he is obligated to do the entire law. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. For we eagerly await through the Spirit, by faith, the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. You were running well. Who prevented you from being persuaded regarding the truth? This persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough. I myself am persuaded in the Lord, you will not accept any other view. But whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. Now, brothers and sisters, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. I wish those who are disturbing you might also let themselves be mutilated. For you were called to be free. Brothers and sisters, don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, adultery, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things as I warned you before that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In chapter 4, we saw again that Paul is trying to drive home the fact you can't have it both ways. You can't be saved by keeping the law and by grace. You can't be saved by your efforts and by Jesus. It doesn't work that way. What the law does is to show us that we can't save ourselves. The law shows us that we don't measure up to God's standard. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And so the law reveals in a God-given way the fact that we need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. Now Jesus came so that we could have life, so that we could be forgiven, but not just forgiven. He came so that we could be free. And that's what we start off with in this chapter. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. He didn't set you free so that you could go right back into bondage. He didn't set you free so that you could continue to live the way that you did before. He set you free so that you would live in freedom. But there are folks who don't like freedom. They don't like it for themselves. They don't like it for others. They really want to impose a set of rules. I was talking with one of our folks before the service about some of the different rules that people place on folks in different subcultures and denominations and parts of the country, and I would say even countries around the world. I grew up in an extremely legalistic environment. My precious parents felt that it would not be appropriate for the pastor's children to have dice in the home, because dice are often used for gambling, and that's not a good thing, and it's often associated with other things that aren't good. So our Monopoly set, instead of having dice, we had a homemade spinner. We didn't even have a store-bought spinner. We got one of those little brass brads that you can bend out the thing on the back and made a spinner. It didn't work right. It ruined the game, spoiled our fun. That's why none of us were very successful in real estate. It's all my parents' fault. But, you know, I mean, just silly things like that. The Bible doesn't say you can't have dice. But folks who start making rules have to extend the rules. I mean, if this is wrong, well, then this probably shouldn't be something. Well, then we really shouldn't do. Well, then we really ought to. The list just goes on and on and on. My mother didn't want to be a Jezebel, and therefore felt it was inappropriate for her to wear lipstick. My dad, who hadn't grown up in the Midwest, northern part of the Midwest, in that little evangelical fundamentalist subculture, dad had grown up down in the South where people were a bit more lax about such things. And so dad wanted mother to wear lipstick. And so at my dad's insistence, mom would apply a little bit of lipstick, do like that, and then get a Kleenex and blot it. That's what she was doing. Well, she would blot it until there was virtually none left. And dad would say, put some more on. And she'd say, I just don't think I should look worldly. And dad would say, there's nothing in the Bible about lipstick, but it does say that wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. So mother would once again apply a little bit of lipstick and then take some Kleenex and blot it. I mean, it was just kind of a comedy as we drove to church. Do you remember when beards weren't okay? You know, it looked worldly. Come on, guys, you don't want to look worldly like one of the prophets. I mean, it's just goofy that we take our aesthetics and try and impose them on other people as a standard of godliness. It's not. But there are a lot of folks who don't want Christians to be free. Paul is writing to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, the reason Christ set you free was for freedom. He set you free in order that you might be free. That's the goal. You're supposed to be free. Really free. Freed from the law, freed from the delusion that somehow if you keep all the rules, you can justify yourself. He says, do you not understand? You don't get to choose which laws you're going to keep and which ones you're going to disregard. If you want to be justified by the law, you have to keep all the commands, and you've already blown it. The standard is perfection. Jesus said your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. Well, wow, they were pretty high standard. Jesus says, yeah, but they fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God. The only hope for any of us is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Look at what he says. Verse 5, eagerly awaiting through the Spirit by faith the hope of righteousness. That's what we're waiting for. The righteousness that is ours in Christ Jesus. I'm going to be declared righteous before God, not on the basis of my performance. The only hope is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And folks, if you think you can earn God's love, you don't know God's love. His standard is perfection. Only Jesus satisfies that standard. But the wonderful thing is, we can be born again in Christ. When God looks at me, he sees me in Christ. He sees Jesus' righteousness applied to my account. That's what makes eternal life possible. That's what makes me righteous. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our peace. Therefore, we are set free from the law. He says, every man who gets himself circumcised is obligated to do the entire law. Do you want that? Well, no. I was just thinking I could do that, you know, list that I made up of commands I think are good. If you get yourself circumcised in an effort to please God, to satisfy his commands, you who are trying to be justified by the law are cut off. It says alienated here. The word should be cut off from Christ. You've fallen from grace. For in Christ Jesus, verse 6, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. And then beginning in verse 7 and going through verse 12, he talks about the false teachers who have come along and tried to take them away from the gospel and make them think that somehow they can be justified through the works of the law. And he says, I wish those guys would just go the whole way and cut themselves off. Now, some of you may feel that we should not dwell on that verse, but I want you to recognize it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Paul is saying, I wish that the knife would slip on them when they're being circumcised. Okay? And that's not just a mean punishment. He's also talking about the fact that their lie would not be reproducible. So it's like a multi-layered pun inspired by God to say that false teachers should not be able to keep doing what they're doing and spreading this false teaching of legalism among believers. Now, verse 13. For you were called to be free. How did it start out? Chapter starts out by saying, for freedom, Christ has made you free. Verse 13. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Well, praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be free? Get the next phrase. Only don't use this freedom as a pretext for indulging the sinful nature. Paul says, I know that some of you are going to hear all this about freedom, and you're going to think that means I am free to live like the devil and still be forgiven. Okay? I love to sin. God loves to forgive. It's a good relationship. That's not the way it goes. So Paul says, and again, this is God speaking through Paul, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. Have you ever found a conflict within yourself about what you ought to do? Anybody else here ever have that experience? I know I should do this, but I don't feel like it. All of us have a sin nature, a flesh pattern, that we have to die to every day. Jesus talks about taking up our cross and following him. The reason it's a cross is you got to keep dying on it. Offer up your body as a living sacrifice, we read in Romans 12. You can't just do what comes naturally to the flesh. Okay? Because dying doesn't come naturally to the flesh. Now, Paul says the solution here is you need to post a bunch of rules on your refrigerator. No. He says the solution here is to walk in the Spirit. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because you're going to find that God will say to you, I don't want that. And you're going to have to think for a second, who's in charge here? And then you remember, oh, that's right, you are. So I want to do what God says now, which often is opposed to what my flesh wants. Right? That means over and over, day after day, I'm cultivating a whole new way of life. It's referred to here as walking in the Spirit. But it looks just totally different from walking in the flesh. They're opposed to each other. He says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife. You ever been in a church where there was a lot of strife? That's a work of the flesh. Jealousy. Outbursts of anger. Love is not easily angered. If you've got a problem with outbursts of anger, that's a flesh problem. Selfish ambitions. Is it wrong to have ambition? No. Is it wrong to have selfish ambitions? Yes. Dissensions. Factions. Envy. Anybody here? Don't raise your hand. Anybody here have a problem with envy? Drunkenness. Well, I don't know why he mentions that. That never happens among Christians. Oh, yeah, it does. Which doesn't make it okay. But we shouldn't pretend that Christians don't sometimes develop a problem with substance abuse. Because they do, and when they do, they need help. They need to be set free. Drunkenness. Carousing. And anything similar. Now, why did he say in anything similar? Because some people sit there, read the list, and say, I made it. And he says, nah, you're in there too. Okay? Anything similar to that. Work of the flesh, not okay. Don't do that. And you won't if you walk in the Spirit. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people who think because they prayed a prayer, raised their hand, walked an aisle, signed a card, got dunked, whatever they did, I can live as I please and I'm going to go to heaven. If you live to please the flesh, you are not going to heaven. And God says that to us over and over in his word. So are you saying we do have to obey a bunch of rules? No. you have to receive new life. If Jesus is living his life through you, it won't look like that. If your life looks like that, I don't mean if you ever sin, I mean if this is a description of your life, you're not going to heaven right now. So what would it look like if I received the life of Jesus Christ? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love. What does love look like? Well, read 1 Corinthians 13. And you know what you'll find? In the description of love, you'll find these same terms that he uses here for the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you take that list of words and the description of love in 1 Corinthians 13 and put them over each other, you're going to find that they line up real well. So don't think that love means just doing whatever feels right. No. I've got to say no to my flesh and yes to the Spirit of God. And when I do, the result is going to be a life of love. The law is not against such things. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? He says, you know, if you live a life of love, you're not going to find yourself breaking a bunch of the law. Because the law is not opposed to love. The Pharisees despised Jesus because he exposed their hypocrisy. But one of the things they really chafed about was the way he behaved on the Sabbath. Jesus would do these outrageous things on the Sabbath, like healing people. And they were like, you can't do that, that's work. Jesus said, the law says that if an ox is in the ditch on the Sabbath, you're supposed to get it out. This person's been sick for years. Now they've been healed. Why have you got a problem with that? Well, the reason was, they didn't understand the purpose of the law, and they certainly were not living a life of love. They had murder in their hearts. They wanted Jesus dead because he exposed their unrighteousness. They had looked at the law and developed all kinds of convoluted ways of rationalizing and making themselves believe that they were living according to the law. Jesus shows up and embodies the law. All of the law pointed to him. And so when he shows them the real thing, they didn't say, oh, we need to repent. They said, we need to get rid of him. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the only one who perfectly fulfills the law of God. And his righteousness is credited to all those who trust in him, who realize we have no other hope. No other hope. It's just Jesus. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, this is an ongoing process. God is going to lead us in a life of loving obedience. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Now, again, I've said every time, you need to read the whole letter. Don't just zero in on one chapter. We're trying to look at these chapters in the context of the whole letter. But please understand, what God has done for us in Christ Jesus is not just set us free from rules. That's a part of it. But what he calls us to is a life of love where his Holy Spirit lives the life of Christ through us. And more and more and more we look like him. And the Bible tells us one day we're going to be like him when we see him face to face.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearsvalleyranch.org. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.